Welcome to Love Fellowship Believers, a non-denominational church desiring to fulfill God's will. We invite you to join us in an atmosphere of praise and worship in the powerful teachings of Christ delivered in a most creative way that reaches every age. Located at 1900 Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Greensboro, North Carolina, on the wonderful campus of Gillespie Park Elementary School. This year, we're focusing on building a foundation solidified by grace, with walls made by faith, and our homes being filled with salvation by being united in living devotion. We promise you, visiting us online or in the sanctuary will be an experience that will be life-changing and one you'll never forget. We hope to see you soon. Services begin at 11 a.m. Have a blessed day.
Amen. 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 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Amen. We read all the scriptures. We read verses 1 through 6. But I want you to read verses 3 through 6 with me. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 6. I believe if you had a Bible, it was on page 999. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We read verses 1 through 6 earlier, but we're going to concentrate on verses 3 through 6. Amen. As we were going through our worship and praise, God was just giving confirmation over our word today. And I'm thankful for that. Amen. It says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled." Let us pray. Father God, first and foremost, again, we say thank you. Thank you, God, for this time and this moment, and again, for another opportunity to share your word. God, I pray and I ask that your word would be shared in a way that you would have it to be done here today. Father, we need you and can't make it without you. So open up our ears, our hearts, and our minds that we would be receptive to what thus saith the Lord. That we just not would be hearers, but be doers as well. God, we love you and we thank you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 You may be seated. You may be seated. If you're writing notes and you want to write down a title for today's sermon, it's just simply one word, strongholds. Strongholds, strongholds. Who's got a phone? It's got a dictionary, got a little app on your phone, little dictionary app. Who can look up a word for me real quick? Who's going to be my volunteer? Leslie, thank you. Wonderful. Stronghold. I want you to look up that word stronghold. And when you get it, I want to hear that definition. I want to hear that definition. Stronghold. Anybody know what a stronghold is? Is there one person that knows what a stronghold? Okay, there's a couple of hands that went up. Stronghold, stronghold. We want to get the definition of that. You got it? I'm getting ready to give you a microphone so you can say it. Folk can hear it. They might be listening in. Want to say thank you for those that are listening in. Thank you so very much. Stronghold, I want you to go ahead and give what it say. I don't know what it say.
A place that has been fortified so as to protect it against attack. Number two, a place where a particular cause or belief is strongly defended or upheld. The word stronghold is found once in the New Testament, used metaphorically by Paul in the description of the Christians. Hang on. Spiritual battle. Though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses or strongholds. Our battle is not planned according to the way this world fights. Earthly stratagems are not our concern.
So give me that first definition again.
A place that has been fortified so as to protect it against attack. A place where a particular cause or belief is strongly defended or upheld.
Thank you. So a place that has been fortified to protect against attack. Everybody got that? So what if you was to take that and say, well, now, if it's a place that's been fortified to protect you against attack, what if you take that and you say, now, the enemy has a stronghold. The enemy has a stronghold in our life. There's a situation that's going on in our life that seems to be a stronghold. A stronghold being defined as maybe a situation that you've dealt with for a long time, that you ain't never been able to get over. You've never been able to get past. You know that thing that always comes back up? That thing that always comes back around? That thing that you ran away from and you thought you got away from it, but then somebody else found out and now this thing is back in your life again. Sometimes a stronghold can be defined as an addiction. Sometimes a stronghold, when we think in the worldly sense, can be that little thing that keeps us from making it over the hump. But in the spiritual sense of a stronghold, then it could be the things where actually you start to deal with false teachers and false prophets. Now you start to deal with folk that are now saying things that are contrary to God's word, trying to take over, trying to take a stronghold over a situation. This is what Paul was dealing with here in this New Testament scripture. He was dealing with the church at Corinth. Now, this says that this is the second book that's written to the Corinthians. It's been said by many theologians that it's possible that there were even six different letters that were written. That some of the letters were combined, some of the letters was lost. Even within this very book, the Second Corinthians, some theologians believe that it's actually two letters. That chapters 1 through 9 is one letter and verses 10 through 13 is another one. Regardless of how all that breaks down, we know that Paul wrote letters to the church of Corinth. And what Paul was dealing with the church of Corinth is that he was dealing with false apostles. People that were coming up saying that this is who they were, and based upon what they said is how believers should respond. Paul was very adamant to speak against those folks, saying, you're trying to take a stronghold over something that is not even yours. And so as he's writing these letters to the church at Corinth, he says, let me tell you how we deal with strongholds. Let me tell you how we deal with these false apostles. Let me tell you how we deal with this stuff that is contrary to God's word. Amen. So in 2017, do you think that we're dealing with some things that is contrary to God's word? Do you think we deal with that in our everyday life? As a believer, do you ever feel as though you're the one that's outnumbered? Yes? No? Amen. 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 Here in Scripture, it says here in verse 3, For though we walk in the flesh, everybody in here is walking in the flesh. If you're not walking in the flesh, let me know. Okay. All right. Everybody, although we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. In other words, we should not respond in flesh and thinking flesh is going to win the battle for us. You ever heard somebody say, I need to be careful before I mess around and lose my religion? Somebody get in a little tight situation and their flesh starts to boil up and they want to respond in the same way that possibly they were attacked. Okay, I'm guilty. Amen. I'll go ahead. I'm guilty of that. I had to catch myself quite often. and this is what Paul's saying. He says, though we're in the flesh, as a believer, we should not respond that same way. It says here in verse 4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. The weapons of our warfare are not the things that are most commonly used that people might think this is how you ought to respond. There ought to be something different. There ought to be something else that folks see. It says here, but mighty, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. These weapons that we have are mighty in God. In other words, they're not empowered nor are they strengthened by our flesh, but they're strengthened by God. And so the weapons that we have a whole nother level of power that far exceeds anything that we could ever do on our own. Everybody catch that? Far exceeds anything that we could ever do on our own because it's empowered by God. Amen? It says, and not only is it empowered to him, but it's empowered to the point that it has the ability to pull down strongholds in your life. Now, is there anybody here, I don't need to know exactly what it is, but is there anybody here that does not have, feels as though they do not have a stronghold in their life? If there's anybody that feels you don't have a stronghold in your life, raise your hand. So we just qualified everybody in here. Everybody got an issue. Is that true? Amen. Amen. Everybody has an issue. So it says, casting down imaginations. The mind is a powerful thing. There's scripture that I believe it says in Mark 9:23. I believe there's scripture that says that if you can believe it, it's possible to be accomplished. Write that down, Mark 9:23. I think that's what that is. That if you can believe it, it's possible for it to be accomplished. Your imagination is a big thing. But you also have to be careful, because just as you can imagine positive stuff, you have the ability to imagine negativity. And for some folk, their mind is their strong place of stronghold. For some folk, they can't get away from their thoughts. Becomes a stronghold. Amen? It says, casting down imagination. So this mighty strength, this mighty power that we received of God, this weapon of warfare that we have, will even help us in our own imaginations, in the battle that goes on inside of us that others can't even see. Amen. It says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. Everything that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. Anything that thinks that its way is better than God's way. Anything that says, you know what, God's not first, this is first. Anything that puts itself in out of position. It says, look, these weapons that we have is still able to fix every single bit of that. Some people are stressed out and miserable because they have their priorities out of order. Their priorities are out of order. Well, Pastor, what are you talking about? Some people put their job first, and now they're stressed out over their job. It's not your job that you should really be stressed out with. The problem is you got the job in the wrong place. I don't know about you, but I go to work to get a check. That's what I go to work for. I need a check because I got bills that I want to have paid. All other stuff that go on at work, it can stress me out. It can get on my nerves. But the only way it's going to stress me out or get on my nerves is if I allow it to. My dad always said, I came looking, I'll leave looking. It's all right. If you find out that you're getting stressed out over stuff that's an area, that's a stronghold for you, you might need to change your priority. Some folk might agree, some folk might disagree. But in 2017, there's a lot of families that put their kids first. I disagree. I don't think your kids need to be first. I don't think your kids would have half of what they have or be in the position that they're in if it wasn't for their parents. So as parents, you ought to put each other. God ought to be first. You ought to put each other before your children. Your children ought to see the fact that as a husband and wife, you put each other before And they have to respect that and have to respond accordingly. I guarantee you'll see your children's attitude change. Once they realize, Aaron, what you want? What do you need? Let me go ahead and make sure you got what you need. And then after I make sure mama got what she need, then Lauren Lindsay, what y'all need? Sean, Luke Levi, what y'all need? But mama come first. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. Anything that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 said that it's husband, wife. God, husband, wife. Children didn't come in there. If you got that out of order, that's against the knowledge of God. God has given you all the knowledge you need right here. Amen? Just an example. Anything that exalted itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Here we go. This issue of this battle that goes on inside of us. Every thought that goes against, here it is, casting down every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Every thought that you have that falls outside the obedience that God has said, this is where this needs to be. All the way back to the beginning of the Bible, all the way back to the beginning of time, God simply asked Adam and Eve to obey him. That's what he asked. It has not changed. God says, I want my people to obey me. Now, I don't want you to get caught up in rules and regulations because man couldn't fulfill that. Scripture says all of man's righteousness is as filthy rags. So you're not going to be able to fulfill it on your own. You can only fulfill it with Christ. But you know when you are purposely doing what goes against God's will. We all do. And so it's this obedience that he says, let's make sure that I'm lining up with doing what it is God has called me to do. That might not look the same for your neighbor. That might not look the same for your coworker. It's between you and God. Amen? And having in a readiness to avenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. When your obedience is fulfilled, to go back and correct those things that were wrong. To straighten those things out. It's sort of weird. God gave me a message on strongholds earlier in this week. And I said, wow, God, why are you giving me this message on strongholds? I don't think God does anything for any reason. I think there's a reason that he does it. Because there's stuff we got we need to straighten out. Stop hiding behind your badge of I'm a believer. And actually deal with what you really got going on. You got stuff that's falling outside of God's will. Don't just allow it to still continue to linger around. Deal with it. Deal with it. Well, Pastor, you don't understand. I've been dealing with this all my life. Well, it's time to stop running from it and confront it straight up. Whatever it is, whatever feeling it is that you have, whatever imagination it is that you have, whatever thought it is that you have, deal with it straight up. Stop playing with it. Stop trying to do it on your own. Stop trying to think, well, oh, I just keep this to myself because don't nobody else need to know because I'm... No, you're never going to defeat it on your own. The only way it will get done is by using the weapons that are mighty and powerful in God. Now we're getting ready to talk about those weapons. What do you think those weapons are? They're not the weapons like you think. They're not the weapons that we might use in a carnal battle. I'm getting ready to fight in a carnal battle. I need to have a gun. I need to have a sword. I need to have a shield. I might need to put on a bulletproof vest. I might need a helmet. You know, when a soldier gets ready for battle, is everybody picturing what we see on TV as a soldier right now? As a soldier, there's a certain type of dress that they wear. You know, they got to be camouflaged so they can sort of fit into their surroundings. As a soldier, they got all this stuff, these night vision goggles and all this, the helmet and the phase and all of this stuff to protect them. They got extra weapons and all this other kind of stuff to be prepared no matter whatever situation they're in to respond to the battle. As a police officer has different weapons that they use. Some situations might garner them to have to use a flashlight. That's all they got to do is just flash the light on the situation. You know how roaches do. Just flash the light on it. Everything dispersed. Sometimes an officer might need to use a stick. Sometimes it might need a situation where they need to use a stick. Sometimes it might be a situation where they need to use some spray. Am I calling out all the stuff? Again, some spray. Spray, mace. Might need to use some mace. I said spray, not like hairspray. Mace, okay. Some mace. Sometimes they might need to use a taser. Sometimes they might need to use a firearm. And that's just a handgun that's on the side. Sometimes the situation might be big enough where they need to go to the car and pull something out the trunk. All these different weapons are powerful weapons, but they're nothing against the weapons that God gives us. Here's one of the weapons that God gives us. Love. Love. My mom always told me, you'll catch more bees with honey than you will with vinegar. Love. Let me give you a testimony of love. So I use Sprint as my telephone carrier. And I've been paying almost $140 a month for one phone. And I see this stuff coming on TV to say, hey, you get a phone for $45. I'm like, wait a minute, what's going on? My wife had her phones and two other phones on her line. She was paying less than me. And I'm going, Sprint's starting to make me a little upset. I'm feeling in my flesh over this thing. So I called Sprint up. And I got Miss Carmen on the phone, is who I spoke to. And as I spoke to Miss Carmen on the phone, I very easily could have responded out of flesh and said, I've been accustomed with y'all over 15 years. How dare you sit here and charge me and go? I could have very easily taken that route. But when Miss Carmen answered the phone, I said, Miss Carmen, how you doing? I said, I'd like to try to lower my bill. I'm realizing that I think I'm paying way more than I ought to be paying. So I need to go ahead and work with you so we can get this figured out. Miss Carmen was just as nice as she could be on the phone. She went ahead, long story short, got my bill down to only $65 a month. And the reason mine is so high because I got unlimited everything for all of that kind of stuff. Got it down to that amount. Not only did she get it down to that amount, she said, Mr. Webb, I see where there are some credits on here. So guess who hadn't paid a phone bill in the last 2 months? I don't actually pay again until the end of April. Now, I could have got on the phone and just went off. But I said, you know what? I'm going to respond in love. Because Miss Carmen is working just like all she wants is a check. I don't know if you've ever been on the phone or been in a grocery store or been wherever. If you respond in love, you'll get a better response back. But if you jump on the phone and you start going off, you might think that you're getting something taken care of, but you'll mess around and turn around and find out that you ain't really getting nothing taken care of at all. Love. Love is a weapon. Love is a weapon. God's word is a weapon. In your situations, start to call out God's word. Well, Pastor, I don't know God's word. Pick it up and read it. Pick it up and read it. Spend some time reading it. Spend some time meditating in it. Look, there is no excuse. In the 2017, the age that we're living in, there is no excuse. You got apps that'll send you stuff daily. And it's amazing how in sending you stuff daily, you'll find that you can actually use that scripture in your today. I don't know if there's any more, but we have Upper Room books over there that has a daily reading that you can go through. Stop letting your Bible fade out sitting in the back of the car. Actually pull it out, open it up, and read it. Most people have come to find that they got even more than one Bible in the house. Pick it up and read it. If someone is telling you that all the answers that you need is right here in this book, and you sitting going through not having any answers, pick it up and read it. God's word will save your life. God's word will change your situation. God's word will help you in that same area that we just talked about, that battle that goes on inside of your mind, because once you're able to take his word and put it in your heart, the mind follows after the heart. Take time to pick up. Love is a weapon. God's word is a weapon. Prayer is a weapon. Prayer is a weapon. In our journey ministry, we deal with the mentoring the kids from 14 to 17. We're going over prayer right now. Teaching the children the importance of prayer and how the vehicle of prayer will take you anywhere. Can take you anywhere. And it's not some big elaborate thing that you have to come up with. It's not no special words. I can't tell you that there's any key words that's just going to make your prayer. Here's what makes your prayer special. You understand it's just you and God. And you understand who you're talking to. You're talking to God. You're talking to God that no matter what your situation is, he has the power to change it. You're not begging to him. You're having a conversation with him. Why did God even create man in the first place? Why did God create this world that we're living in? He created because he wanted to commune with man. He wanted to have a relationship with man. If you say that you are a believer, there's a relationship that you have with God, and he gives you the ability to speak to him directly. You don't have to come to Pastor Webb and say, Pastor Webb, I need you to do such a... It's not that you can't come to me and say that, but you got the ability to go to God yourself. It's good to have somebody that can touch and agree with you. Scripture says, touch and agree. There ain't nothing wrong with that. Two or more there. I inhabit the praise of them. This is what Scripture says. So it's nothing wrong with that, but you have the ability to go to him on your own. Prayer is a very powerful weapon. You can pray about your situation right now and God hears it and starts to move. Don't think God doesn't know the enemy is on your trail. That he doesn't know the enemy is messing with you. That he doesn't know that your situation is rough. Could it be that God is just saying, well, when you gonna ask me? When you gonna stop trying to take care of it yourself? And when you gonna ask me about it? God is not a God that he's gonna force it on you. You're gonna sit there and say that you don't need God and you can do it by yourself. He's gonna say, well, go ahead. Let me know how that work out. Because eventually, every knee shall bow. And every tongue shall confess that he is Lord. You can choose to do it now, or you can wait till later. Love is a weapon. God's word is a weapon. Prayer is a weapon. Everybody got those three, right? Was those three in your wheelhouse? Here go the one that folk don't want to hear is a weapon. Say it again. Forgiveness is a weapon. Now, me and Todd don't have nothing going on. We good, as far as I know, right? We good. You ain't mad at me or upset at me or nothing. We straight. I ain't do nothing wrong, eh? Okay, all right. So we good. But if he had something against me and I had something against him, the forgiveness part is, I'm mad at Todd because of how Todd treated me. Okay? I'm just giving the situation. I'm mad at Todd because of how Todd treated me. Todd don't even realize he done did something that's done ruffled my feathers. But I'm walking around mad at him. He don't even realize that he's done something that's hurt me. He doesn't even realize that he said something that hurt me. But I'm walking around mad at him, not forgiving him. He don't even know it. Who's the one that's miserable? I'm the one walking around mad, miserable, and he don't even know it. He looking at me like, well, Dad, I said, hey, Pastor Webb, he ain't say nothing back. What's, okay, all right, well, I don't know. Maybe he just ain't see me. Hey, Pastor Webb, hey. Really? Forgiveness isn't for Todd. Forgiveness is for me. Because once I can say, I forgive Todd for whatever he did, for however he responded, it releases me. It lets me go. And so now we can go back to being buds. But before it was something in between us, forgiveness. It's a whole bunch of stuff. It's people that have that same situation that I just explained with him. It's people that have that same thing going on inside of them. They won't forgive themselves. Pastor, you don't understand. I messed up. And everybody in here messed up. More than once. I think the only person that can say that they ain't messed up like that is Bryce. Branson. I got to get these words, these things, man. Branson. Branson is the only one that can say he ain't messed up. Well, he really can't say he ain't messed up. I mean, he just can maybe slobber something to let you know that he ain't messed up. Yeah. But we done all messed up. It's folk that are walking around that ain't forgiving themselves. And because they haven't forgiven themselves, they're limited of how far they can go. Pastor, I messed up. I can't go over there and do that. Why not? You have a weapon of forgiveness that would allow you to go to places you've never been before. If you use it, it's not based upon your own forgiveness. This is a weapon that's given from God, that has God's power behind it. Do you know what you actually possess? Do you understand that Goliath stood with a sword and a shield and said, how dare David try? David said, are you tripping? Do you understand who you're talking to? I'm standing here because of God, and you're not going to respond to him that way. Here, David, here, take this. Man, I don't need that stuff. I got what I need. I've heard a lot of people preach, he's got what he's need. He has 5 smooth stones. It ain't had nothing to do with them stones. He had the last weapon that we're getting ready to talk about. We talked about love. What was the next one? God's word. Prayer. Forgiveness. Faith. David had what he needed. Faith. He had faith, and no matter what his situation was, he knew he was going to come out all right. He knew he was going to come out on top. Faith. The type of faith, you know, that crazy faith? Anybody know what I'm talking about when I say crazy faith? Crazy faith is the kind of faith that when you're in a situation that no matter how you add it up, you've been taught all your life that 1 + 1 = 2. You've been taught all your life 1 + 1 = 2. But you're in a situation where you need like a 500, but you only got 1 + 1. But God mess around and take your 1 + 1 and turn it into 2,000, but you only needed 500. See, that's that crazy type kind of faith. You know, that crazy type kind of faith is that, no, I'm in a situation when I'm about to lose it all. I don't know how it's going to work out. I don't know how this is going to, I need it right now. It's not a want. I got to have it. And God says, well, okay, no problem. We'll go ahead and work it out. All you need to do is have faith. But in the process of going through faith, the thing that you very well said that you need, God allows it to be taken away. But God, I got faith in you. I thought, well, we're just going to take that house away. Wait a minute, God, but I have faith. No, we're just going to go ahead and take that relationship away. Well, wait a minute, God. No, that's okay. We're going to go ahead and take that job away too. God, I'm losing everything, but I'm still holding on to faith that you're going to work it out and mess around and turn around and had a better house than you started off with. Mess around and find out that person that you thought was all of that wasn't all of that. And you don't need them no more because God got somebody better for you in store. Mess around and think that job that you thought that was all that. God said, no, that was just something that you was doing. No, this is what I really want you to do. That crazy type kind of faith. That's a weapon that surpasses all kinds of stuff. That'll put you in places that you never thought you'd ever be. Ain't that right, son? That crazy type kind of faith. Amen. Strongholds. Everybody has them in their life. Don't let your stronghold be the thing that takes you out. Paul was trying to explain, and although Paul's situation might be a little different than everything that we got going on, Paul was basically trying to tell the folk at Corinth, the believers at Corinth, look, don't jump on these false apostles. Don't jump on this false doctrine. Don't go ahead and start chasing after all that stuff. Paul says, look, I gave you what it is that you need. You got what it is that you need. You now have a relationship with Christ. And based upon your relationship with Christ, that opens up doors that you didn't even know a door was there. It opens up all kinds of stuff. And so in whatever it is that we go through in life, our circumstances and our situations, don't sit up there and try to duke up and fight it. You might be good at what you do, but you're not going to win every battle that way. It's not going to happen that way. Because there's a whole bunch of different fights that go on that no matter how strong you are, it's not determined based upon your strength. Your strength has nothing to do with it. Your looks has nothing to do with it. Your education has nothing to do with it. How much money you got in the bank has nothing to do with it. I don't care. You can be a billionaire. Have a health condition that doesn't have an answer. You can spend your whole $1 billion. It won't fix it. Because that's not how you should be fighting that battle. I have a friend of mine, a childhood friend. Some of you might remember him. He's been here at this ministry before. One Sunday he came in and he sat in the back in the chair. Sat in the back in the chair. I found out Friday his mother, ambulance came and picked him up. Mother ended up having a major stroke. Her name is Helen Farrington. Ended up having a major stroke. I told my wife, I said, hey, I need to jump in a car. I need to go down there. I need to see my buddy. So jumped in the car, went down there and saw her in the hospital. You know, I don't like hospitals. Went and saw her in the hospital, and she was just talking out of her mind. Some things she would say that make sense. Some things she would say didn't make sense at all. So it's a real crazy situation for my friend because it's always been him and his mom. So now it's a situation where he's got to put everything on his shoulders and he's got to deal with it. That's not the type of battle that you do this right here with. because it's not going to be based upon how strong he is, what it is he can or can't do. It's going to be based upon what God allows. So first, love needs to be your response. Whether the doctors say this, the doctors say that, that's okay. Love them anyhow. Family members say this, family members say that, that's okay. Love them anyhow. God's word. Yeah, I know you're going to be busy and you're going to be wearing a whole bunch of different hats, but you need to get that word in you. I can sit here and tell you all kinds of stuff as a pastor, as a friend, as a minister, but I'm here to tell you, God's word will speak to you way more than I can. Pick it up and read it. Prayer. You're going to have to spend some time in prayer. No difference what those doctors say. You're going to have to go to God and pray to God for your mother. Pray to God for you, for your son, for your situation. This prayer. There's going to be some things you're going to have to let go. You're going to have to forgive. Don't hold no grudges. God doesn't bless mess. You holding a grudge against one of his children, but then you expecting him to bless you, doesn't work that way. Some stuff you're just going to have to let go. We say it all the time, let go and let God. There's some stuff we're just going to have to let go. Amen? Amen. Strongholds. Everybody got them. Everybody need to let them go. Amen? Come on, let's put our hands together for the Lord.